I'd like to begin by saying, first of all, this is not a talk I would have given 20 years ago. And it's taken me this long to get to this place. So you're sharing my journey with me. So I'm going to share my screen and we're going to get started. So again, I want to thank Stephen Shore and the entire team from The Real Truth About Health for inviting me today. And it's really a pleasure to share with you what I've gleaned over being on the front line. And I am a clinician for the past 40 years. I am a researcher of the state of our children. And that's been my passion as well as my life's calling. And I don't consider a career, I consider it my calling. So what I'm going to talk with you today about is where I feel that we are at in terms of our children. And this pandemic, if nothing else, has enlightened me and revealed to me that it is time for a children's environmental health bill of rights. Because you heard about my book already, I co-authored it with the amazing Dr. Adams several years ago, It's Making Our Children Sick, about environmental toxicants. And there's no doubt now that indeed that we need to protect our children in a more global way. And so this is why I've put this together and I've been launching this platform over the past year or so. And I hope to share it with you and continue that it can gain momentum. So why? I believe fully and from my heart that the health of our children is under assault from all angles. And I'll explain what those are over the next hour and a half or so. Chronic disease is rampant. If you were able to join the panel with the brilliant Beth Lambert and Anna Maria Clement on Sunday, thank you to The Real Truth About Health for hosting that panel. We went over those stats and you can go back and watch that talk, but we'll go over some of those today. And as I said, and I will repeat for ad nauseum, that the main drivers of what's making our children sick are environmental toxicants. And I've created a bill of rights specifically on those. And that's what we're going to cover today. So we're going to do an overview of the main factors affecting our children's health. And what we will wrap up with is a call for global action. This is not an American problem. This is a global problem affecting children across the planet. So I want to begin with Children's Environmental Health Bill of Rights number one. This is my favorite. I've been talking about it for, I'd say pretty solidly for 20 years now. I'm hoarse in the voice from talking about this so much, but I still enjoy chatting about the fact that one, children require organically grown food free from chemical inputs. So let's dive into that a bit. I want to talk about some of my heroes with GMOs and pesticides. Folks, I wasn't born knowing this. Like you, I kind of stumbled into it and it literally was a stumble. And these are some of the people, and I will share six individuals who helped me on my journey to understand the impacts and effects of genetically modified organisms. Another term is genetic engineered foods and pesticides. Remember, when you eat a GMO, you eat it with their associated pesticides. They were introduced in the U.S. in 1996. The only country in the world that started about the same time was South Africa. And we've been eating them ever since. If you're eating most diets, like the SAD diet, the standard American diet, you are eating GMOs and pesticides. So who launched my understanding? Well, Dr. Arpad Pusztai. He was a Hungarian researcher at the Rowett Institute in Scotland. And he was studying potatoes, and he was first asked to look at GMOs before they were introduced in Europe. And he did a study, a rat study on GMO potatoes, no pesticides. And he was the first to demonstrate harms from just GMOs. And he showed in rats clearly that there was intestinal damage, there was immune damage, there was organ damage, reproductive damage, liver damage, and kidney damage. He announced his findings, and 2 days later, he was dismissed from the Rowett Institute along with his research. Fast forward 20 years later, my friend and colleague, Dr. Michael Antoniou, another hero for me and a game changer. And he's been reporting on this topic maybe as long as I have, probably longer, actually, Michael. And he looked at GMOs again, without their pesticides, using cutting edge technology called a metabolomics. And he found that there were changes, and he published this paper a couple of years ago, from just eating GMOs, including increase in certain substances called polyamines. Some of them are healthy, but in too high amounts, such as putrescine and cadaverine, they could be cancer forming. In addition, he found oxidative stress from GMOs, as well as a reduction in glutathione. And we'll be speaking about glutathione today, which is the master antioxidant in the body. Dr. Gilles-Éric Seralini, another hero of mine, he was the first to publish a toxicity study from the effects of GMOs and glyphosate-based herbicides, Roundup, but there are more than 800 formulations now of glyphosate-based herbicides. And he was the scientist who showed how the rats developed tumors. And you all may remember that World Health Organization study in 2015, which showed that indeed glyphosate caused cancer class 2 in animals, not humans, not shown in humans because the study wasn't done. But since then, we know Monsanto, now Bayer, has been sued for Roundup causing cancer, particularly non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. More heroes of mine. I call these folks GMO science influencers. You know Jeffrey Smith. He is the gentleman, the advocate, the wizard, my friend and colleague who got me launched into this business when I read his book, Seeds of Deception, 20 years ago. Author, filmmaker, educator, and speaker at this wonderful conference. And I will share a quote in a minute from what Jeffrey said, what he's working on. And we're very simpatico in our beliefs. So I am very, very grateful to Jeffrey for showing me the way. My dear friend and colleague, Howard Leger, who has taught me so much about farming. Hey folks, I'm a gal from Manhattan. What do I know about farming? But through his organic farm, he's a researcher doing a pig study with Judy Carman from Australia on the effects of pigs' tummies. Pigs' tummies are a lot like our tummies on GMOs and pesticides. If you Google image his work with Judy Carman on Google Images, you'll see what those pig stomachs look like that were fed GMOs. And he's an educator, and he's also promoting a non-toxic herbicide through Contact Organics, and I'm a fan. Claire Robinson, co-author of GMO Myths and Truths, that book got me started. She was one of an editors for many things I co-authored with her. She's brilliant. She runs GM Watch, and she is extremely knowledgeable, brilliant, in fact, about the effects of GMOs. If you don't know her website, GM Watch, please check it out. Author, co-author, ED website director, and educator. And so I would be remiss if I didn't just spend a moment here telling you that, of course, my first introductions to this brilliant Hungarian gentleman, and my husband's Hungarian, so I have a lot of simpatico for this guy, who passed recently at the age of 91. And boy, his career took a hit. And if you watch the movie Scientist Under Attack, you'll learn about Arpad, and as well as another colleague of his, Ignacio Chapella, who is a researcher at UC Berkeley, also a sounding alarm about GMOs. And they tried to get rid of him 3 times, and it failed 3 times. So again, Howard Vlieger wrote this beautiful eulogy in Children's Health Defense upon his passing. So a moment, an acknowledgement, because without Dr. Pusty, we would still be in the dark about this very alarming situation. Because they're here doesn't mean they're safe. And a shameless shout out to my own organization, GMO Science, myself, another physician, Dr. Ash, Debbie Friedman, a friend and a colleague and an old patient of my mom, who some of the people who hit me to GMOs many years ago in the early 2000s. And we started this nonprofit website regarding the effects of GMOs and their effects on health with a lens on health. And their associated pesticides, of course. And I wrote this article in 2015 because I began seeing an alarming rise in children's health about in the early 2000s. And I said, hey, what the heck is going on? And I've been writing about it ever since. And indeed, that is what prompted me to get that book going.